Okay, gentlemen, we are going to be learning tonight Siman Tov Kuf Mem Beis, as well as, I would like to do Sif Aleph and Sif Beis, which is the entire Siman, and perhaps even start Siman Tov Kuf Mem Gim, but of course the Hara tonight it will be at Valtur Yoshet by Heb Gideon Shlita. So let us get to, page 26. Now this is an interesting halacha. I want to discuss tonight a little bit if a babysitter can be paid on Chol HaMoed, and if you've got ever any need for using a babysitter, or your daughters act as a babysitter. And the question is as to whether you can on Chol HaMoed. That's a really interesting question. Can you ask on Chol HaMoed a babysitter to come and pay her? Or is that a malacha which is also? The halacha is as follows. Hafilu malacha is a mutoris, even permitted malacha, says Shulchan Aruch. Enu mutoris la'asoyson, you can only do yourself. Elo la'atzmoy la'acherim b'chinom. Any melacha, afilu melachas amutos, even melachas which are permitted, you can only do any mutolas. You're not allowed to do them. Elo le'atzma, you can only do the melachas for yourself or la'acherim bechinam. So there's an additional halacha over here, and that's the next three words on top of the page. Avol bischa also. There's an issa which is an issa of getting paid for work. You may not get paid for work. The way out of this is if you're not actually getting paid a fixed amount, that you're inviting him for your supper. You've got this very fancy supper, and instead of paying him, so he painted the house, whatever he did, painted the house might not be a good example, he fixed whatever he did, and you want to pay him now, and you can't pay him. So instead of paying him, you say, why don't you just save for us by supper? We've got tongue. Why don't you join us for tongue? So that you'd be allowed to do. If you're oichel imoy bischor, you'd be allowed to. So again, paying no, giving him food with you, it's okay. Here comes the halacha that if something is done as a dover oveid, say your pipes are breaking, electricity needs to be called in because electricity gone down. You got some urgent need to be seen to. In such an instance, you're allowed to pay him schar kotzev as well. Now, so the halacha is, Mishnah Berurah gives an example in Sifkot and Aleph. Let's see that. Melacha zamutos. What would it be in melacha which is mutter, but you're not allowed to pay? Kegoin such as kol dovo shulitzoy chamoit. The boy shinu, something which is done for the moed, for the yomtiv, which requires shinu. And similarly, we've spoken about last night, I believe. We spoke about a non-expert, which wants to do some stitches or something. So, if it's only a master hedjit, you can do it. But for payment, that wouldn't be permitted.
Rabbi?
Yes.
What is the actual issue with paying somebody? I don't understand what the problem is.
The answer to your question, what is the root of the issa of paying, is that it's over to the choil. Mishnah Berurah tells us that, but let me just get one more line. The top of the line tells us, so anything which is the tircha, even if it's not proper melacha, is also. Now, why is it also? Your question, if cotton base, avals bischa also, the kabbalas scha, receiving payment. Receiving payment per se b'moed on Chol HaMoed ke'ovda de chol damye resembles a weekday activity.
Receiving here it is. Payment or paying somebody?
Accepting payment.
But doesn't the employer have an obligation to pay the worker on that day?
So you pay him by giving him. Yes, you're right. There's an it's mitzvah de'raisel, but you've got to pay him on that very day. So it's a good question. It's an interesting question. What do you say about that? There's a mitzvah of paying on time. So perhaps. Or I would argue that b'yomot titan schori only applies once a person asks for the money. Say a person, for instance, doesn't send an invoice. There's no mitzvah yet. It's a very halacha lemaaseh. If you get a plumber in, a Jewish plumber, or a Jewish electrician, and he's doing some work, you want to pay him on that day, the halacha is you only have the mitzvah b'yoyim titen tzchoi once he gives you an invoice. So say, you don't know if it's £75 or £79 or whatever it is. Even if you do know how much it is, you only have got the mitzvah of wants the invoice, wants he requests the money. Therefore, I'll argue to you in your question, he may not request the money until after Yom Tov, so probably there's no Yom Tov in Schol yet. But I must be honest with you, Brad, I like your question better than my answer.
If you ask a babysitter to babysit for you, and it's a young person, a young teenager, they're going to be embarrassed to ask for payment. They just expect you to pay them one that day, and that's an expectation.
Yeah. So there we could ask the question of the babysitter. Babysitter, what about babies? Because the rule, what we are asking, the rule we're learning now is, even if it's not a melacha, but the actual fact, that's what Shulchan Aruch is teaching us, the actual fact of doing something which requires payment is really awesome. So how can you ask a baby? How can a babysitter, for babysitting service, can it be charged? Can you pay? It's an interesting shaila. So the emissary is the upper is more, you can't. You don't pay a babysitter on Chol HaMoed. So don't offer your services. Don't offer your services.
So the teenager would still babysit.
So there is Poiskim or Mikkel, and they say as follows. The top of the what was the problem with this payment? Why is it awesome?
Like a weekday.
And if you look at the Mishnah Berurah of Katan Aleph, there's a little bit of a room for leniency here, because what the Mishnah Berurah says, he's Bamed Vorim Mishnah Awesome Mishum Tircha Av She'en Melacha Mamash. What does that mean? It's got to be a bit of a It's going to be a tircha. Why do you pay a babysitter?
You're paying her or him for the time.
For the time. I would also agree that it's much more the time than really the tircha. Perhaps inconvenience is a good word as well. So there is certain things that, you know, if somebody provides a service, so normally you pay for the tircha, well, for the expertise, for the work, for the service. A babysitter may be classified as something which is not really, you know.
That's the
other option, isn't it? Often not. Yeah, right. I suppose if it is often, you know, when they're all sleeping and they come. Yeah. And
no babysitter has come to babysit for us has been able to just get on what they're doing in peace and quiet.
Okay, so if that's the case, yeah, so maybe that's a certain expertise required then. I see. Okay, I hear that. I was referring much more to babysitter. They all come and they're sleeping, somebody's going to look after their house kind of thing. If it's the skill of bringing kids to bed, admittedly, you could have some skills in that. Similar question, perhaps. What about learning sessions? Learning. Somebody's got a daily chavusa, a few times a night, chavusa. With a boy, learning.
You're talking about the payment.
Yes, for payment. Would you be able to pay, or would you like to request payment on Chol HaMoed for learning with somebody?
Probably not.
Yeah, I think the pashtus would be that it's also some of you want to be lenient as well, and they argue that it's you're not allowed to pay for the learning, but it's for the time. How do you feel about that, Svon? Yeah. Yeah, you're not to make business out of Torah. So normally the way, you know, our teachers, the rabbis, and generally the people who teach Torah, you're not to pay for the Torah. Because you're not allowed to make the Torah into a business. So the halachic way it works is that you pay people for their time, in which they may be teaching Torah in that time. So based on that, one could argue, we could follow on from that, is that, yeah, so Chol HaMoed would be okay. The Acholkim would say, no, you can't actually do that.
What about a chassan of a shul or a rabbi of a shul? So you're saying they get a salary, so you're saying it's not for their Torah, it's for their time.
Yeah. So a chassan, you're referring to a different question as well. How can they be paid for Shabbos, I suppose, right?
Yeah.
So that's a separate question, really, and it's a controversial question, really. And the answer is that normally they have to do the levayas and do the chuppas, and they're mainly paid for that. On a side, they also have to go to do the officially on the side, they've got to do the shabbos and the yom tovim too. There's also a strong meaning that they do various weekdays, such as slichas, first night slichas, and things like that, so that they can be paid for that, and on the side they are paid for the Shabbos and Yom Tov. But it's a good question. Say base, kol melachem shemutal asoisa, any melach which is permitted to do, aladei poel, through a worker, she'elam ayoichal, any work, kol melachem mutal asoisa aladei poel, she'elam ayoichal, kedei she'istake ve'yaviach, any melacha can be done through a worker who never has got no food. So, any melacha, kol melacha, any melacha, even if there's no need for that melacha. So say, what do you need to do something in your house which you don't really need? It's not urgent. Would be a good example. You want to change the windows. What else? It needs to be redecorated. What else? You want to change the... You can wait for after Yom Tov, no problem. But you know, this individual, he's really, really struggling. He's really struggling. He never has got Eila Mayoichal. So in such an instance, you're allowed to employ him. Again, Shulchan Aruch's words are, kol melacha, any melacha, mutal aso, is permitted to do, aladei poel, through a worker, even if there's no need for this particular melacha, she'elo mayoichal, who's got nothing to eat, kedei in order, she'istake, he should earn, ve'aviach, and he should profit from it. The Mishnah Berurah asks, what does it mean that he has got no food? How literally is that to be interpreted? Does it mean literally? No. How do you define? It's got no food. Three meals, two meals. Mishnah Berurah in Sefkot Zayin says, Hainu she'ein loy klal lechol. It's got literally nothing to eat. Aval im yeish loy lechem v'mayim. But if he has bread and water, also l'las melach would be also. I do not know if nowadays anybody qualifies within this category. Do you think there is, Yosli? No. I don't think so either. I think we live in a society that how to find people that have got literally no bread and water.
Maybe
what? Yes, yeah, perhaps. So, the Mishnah Berurah brings another opinion, which is even if it does have rak she'ein letzakim, if it doesn't have the needs for yom tov, kamkein mutal ases melachi uzulat nu melacha. So it remains a bit of a machlokas. Either way, it means literally no food and drink, or it means so he's got this. Absolutely, basically, we can't actually afford Yom Tov. Big difference. I think the second category, I'd argue there are people out there. Question, we'll finish off with that. We'll give the mic over to Gideon. But question, what about the following shaila? What if there is somebody who's literally very, very poor and he qualifies al elo mayochal? He happens to be a, what job should we give him? Okay. And let's give him a taxi. But you also know somebody, and you need to have a taxi. What's a good job? Let's say he needs to go to a good one.
Lawyer.
Where does he need to go? You need the job.
Gatwick
is good. Yeah. Gatwick is good. And you happen to need to go to Gatwick. Happens to be you've got a very good friend as well who would happen to do it for free as well. So now you've got two options. You can either pay somebody, which we know is also, but in this particular instance, it's okay because he qualifies at the Elam Ayochal. So in theory, he's allowed to charge and you're allowed to pay him. But I also know somebody, a good friend, who happened to do it for free. So am I rather supposed to get the free service rather than the paid one, which is Be'isser and now Beheter? I'm asking, what do you say? I'm asking, which one is better?
I suppose if you want to help a fellow year.
Absolutely. Halacha says, what do you mean? You want to give me fum on somebody else's cheshbon. What a beautiful example of getting the point wrong. Yeah, this person never got elu ma'ayachal, so you better go for him, even if, you know, don't get the cheap one and the free one, because that, you know, that's what we know all about. Very good. So to summarize, we learned this evening, we spoke about melachas mutaris, that there's an issa, even for melachas mutaris, to do something for paid service. And we also spoke about the if somebody is elu ma'ayachal, you have to employ him, and we brought the machlokes, what it means exactly to be in the category of elu ma'ayachal. Yes.
Just said about her from the Be'er Yosef, which is Rabbi Yosef Mislam, about the in this parasha we've got the story of Kodesh Baruch Hu told Moshe and Aaron that Aaron should take the stick and throw it in front of Paroi, and she'll turn into it, and it will turn into a snake. So Aaron threw the stick on the ground, and it turned into a snake. And then Paro called his chartumim, and said to them, you know, can you do this? And they also did it. And their sticks turned into snakes. And then Aaron's stick went and swallowed up all their, I think, the sticks, yeah. So the question is, that the Beit Yosef asks is, why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu command Moshe and Aaron to do this miracle of turning a stick into a snake, which all the Chartumim of Mitzrayim can anyway do? It's a really simple thing for them to do. The Medrash says that even 4 or 5 year olds could turn sticks into snakes in Mitzrayim. It's like bringing Teven to Afroim or Coles to Newcastle in the olden days. It's something that anyone can do, turn stick into snake. It's a really easy thing. Paro's not going to be impressed with such a little silly little trick. So that's the kasha of the Beit Yosef. And then he says that why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu punish the Mitzrayim for enslaving Bnei Yisrael in Mitzrayim? It was a gezeirah in Parshas Lech Lecha that HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Avraham Avinu that your descendants will be enslaved in a land, they'll be afflicted and enslaved in a land, and the Mitzrayim were just keeping the gezeirah of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So why are they machayef for doing what HaKadosh Baruch Hu told them to do? So the Teretz, he says, is because when Hashem said we should afflict them, he just meant normal affliction, but they went far, far beyond with porech, very, very hard labor, and they threw the children into the water. That's why they were machayef, because they didn't just give them slavery work to do, but they went much too far with it. They tried to obliterate the whole of Klal Yisrael by Yemoru Eschayim. So it's clear that throwing children into the Nile and is not part of V'inu Oysom. So we see that they didn't just keep the Gezerah, just the simple Gezerah of Avodim V'inu Oysom, but they, because if they'd just done that, then they wouldn't have been punished. But they went too far with it, and that's the remez with the stick to the snake. Hashem was saying to them, "You were supposed to be like a stick, like the Mateh Alekim, the stick of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because a stick only does what the master tells it to do. So a stick it doesn't have its own mind. If the master wants to hit someone with a stick, the stick does whatever the master says. It can only do what the master tells it to do. It hasn't got its own rotzen, whereas a snake has it extra vicious, that it does its own thing, yeah? And that's what they were saying, that you, the Mitzrayim, yeah, you've gone far beyond, and you've done something like a snake. They made them build Pisum and Ramses. Pisum was a city that got swallowed up into the ground. The Ramses were like buildings that collapsed. And this rishus that they made them do was like work that had no benefit for them. There was no hanor for them. And that's like a snake, because it says that a snake, when it gives poison, it's got no gain from giving that poison. It has no gain from it. But if other animals, let's say a lion or a wolf, you know, they eat their prey or whatever, at least they're getting some hana from it. But a snake has no hana from what it does, from poisoning people, or I don't know, wraps itself around people and strangles them to death. So that's the kavana of the stick turning into a snake, a remez to Paro, that you can't say that you're not chayav for slaving Klal Yisrael, because you were just supposed to be like a matter, like a stick that just does the will of its master. But you went further than that, and you behaved like a snake with achzorius, with extra cruelty and extra rishus. Therefore, Kodesh Baruch Hu is going to pay you. Pay you back with all the makus and obviously in the end of the day with the Kriyas Yam Suf and killing them all in the Yam Suf. That's the one.